Blog Talk Radio.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, November 28th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. It seems that today our little gremlins are having fun on the telephone line. So if you're not able to hear me, not to worry. I know that my guest isn't able to get online just yet, but we're going to keep trying until we succeed. So if you'll hang tough with me, we'll be back in a moment. Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life for Monday, November 8th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. It seems that today our little gremlins are having fun on the telephone line. So if you're not able to hear me, not to worry. I know that my guest isn't able to get online just yet, but we're going to keep trying until we succeed. So if you'll hang tough with me, we'll be back in a moment.
Well, Flora?
Hi, Deborah, can you hear me?
I can't. Can you hear me?
Yes, I am so glad you're here. For whatever reason, the gremlins are having fun with this call today.
Oh, well.
Mercury is retrograde,
you know.
Is that Mercury, what's happening?
Yeah, Mercury is retrograde.
Okay, well, Mercury is having fun today, but that's okay. We're going to get started. I'm going to say welcome again to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, November 28th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show is being brought to you by the Home Study Workshop, How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You're an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. This course is available as an instant download at abookin90days.com. So if you've always wanted to write a book but hesitated to get started or just didn't know how to get started or what to do with all those pages and pages you've been writing for years, I urge you not to wait any longer. Dash on over to abookin90days.com, and there you will be able to start earning money before your book is even finished. So order now at abookin90days.com. Deborah, are you ready to roll?
I am ready.
Okay, we're going to get started with our episode because we got a little late start thanks to the Mercury retrograde gremlins. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, How Astrology Applies to Our Lives, with my guest, Deborah Smith Parker, astrological consultant, writer, and teacher. Welcome to all of you, my listeners. whether you're listening live on the phone or you're on the website, maybe you're in the chat room listening to the show from our archives, who knows? I'm honored in any case that you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it's very easy to do that. All you need to do is visit blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. And right under my photo, you will see several ways to keep up with the show. You can click the follow button or any of the other buttons there, but the follow button will enable you to get an email every week letting you know about the upcoming episodes. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it. We talk about all those things that contribute to lasting happiness. We've even talked about Mercury retrograde. Today's episode is How Astrology Applies to Our Lives, with my guest, Deborah Smith Parker, who is rewriting the often impenetrable language of astrology into a much friendlier form. She has spent her 30 years plus as an astrological consultant, writer, teacher, and lecturer, freeing the rich astrological images and their descriptions increasingly buried under modern technology, technological descriptions and modern clinical descriptions. Her additional work in public policy has provided many outlets for demonstrating her ability to break down highly complex systems into information that's easily understood. Parker says that she has a career wake, not a career path, and has always worked in traditional and non-traditional worlds simultaneously. She states she never had a job she was qualified for at the time she was hired, yet she always did well. That's interesting. Why remain in familiar territories when one's best destiny begins at the edges of one's known world, she says. She applies this to all areas of her life. A recent example is her decision 3 years ago to treat her breast cancer only with homeopathy and surgery, shunning chemo, radiation, and all those things, and she got a successful outcome. Parker grew up bilingual, fluent in both prose and poetry, learning from her father at an early age to write clever poetry. Later, she learned how to use writing and other styles of poetry to dig deep into the pain and revelations of life. However, she is incapable of writing on any topic without some form of humor involved. Currently, she's vice president of the San Diego Astrological Society, and she is indeed a practicing astrologer. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Deborah Smith Parker. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Flora. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, thank you for joining me, and thank you, callers who have dialed in. We're going to get started because we're starting a little bit late, so we're going to get started so we have time to cover as much as we can. Let's start with the thing that many people wonder about, and that is, what are the origins of astrology?
Well, the origins of astrology, there are a lot of people who go, when you say that you're an astrologer, particularly when you're someone like as I am, who, quotes, passes for normal in modern life, and I let them know that I'm an astrologer, and they go, ooh, or it just depends, or some are fascinated, others are, ooh, but so the feeling is, the misconception is that it was born in mysticism, and it wasn't at all. It was just our ancestors looking up at the stars and saying, aren't they beautiful? Oh my gosh, they form pictures. Oh my gosh, those pictures keep coming back every year till they move around in the sky. And then there are these other little lights that move at varying speeds between those pictures or through them. And then we look and our earliest ancestors saw that there was some correlation between a particular light, which we now know are planets, moving through a constellation. And our earliest ancestors observed was that that they really did, these movements coordinated with behavior, coincided with behaviors and events on Earth. And at first they reasoned this was the work of the gods, and so therefore they named the planets for the god associated with the type of events. So they didn't name the planet first and then try and make it fit. For instance, when this one particular planet with a kind of a reddish light that moved in a two-year cycle around the Earth coincided with another, or came in aspect with another planet, there would be wars or conflicts or something like that. So they named it Mars, the god of war. And so at first, astrology and astronomy were the same, because they were just the observations of the patterns and movements of the stars. And then they began to, as the Greeks were the earliest to develop the scientific method. And before the Greeks, a few hundred years B.C., all civilizations thought that the gods caused everything. Mm-hmm. But with the advent of the scientific method, they realized there was natural law, that the planets were moving according to natural law. But still, these events kept happening. The coordinated, the events of Mars transits would, suddenly there'd be outbreaks of war, conflicts, and Jupiter would bring some sort of fortune or benefit. But what happened was, with the discovery of the scientific method, is that the planets and stars moved from cause to indicator. And so it would be more, for instance, the ancient Egyptians thought that the movement, that the planet, the star Sirius caused the floods of the Nile, the appearance mm-hmm. of it high in the heavens in the early summer, and then they realized that it was really just natural currents and natural patterns of rain and flooding. But so Sirius moved from cause to indicator. However, then we get into this kind of bugaboo that there really is some influence from the stars. So, mm-hmm. but that's the history of it.
Okay, so how did our ancestors use this information as compared to how we use it today?
Well, it fit into the culture of the time, which was we were basically all slaves to the king, whichever king it was, including the astrologer. But all kings had astrologers, and only kings had astrologers, because only to the ancients the lives of kings really mattered, because if the king won a war, then he captured all of the citizens of the country they had just captured. And mm-hmm. If the king lost, then his subjects became often slaves of the conquering king. So it was very important to know what happened. So astrologers were very highly honored. In fact, any children showing any tendency towards it were highly prized and put in special schools and trained. In fact, often the highest placed person next to the king was either the high priest or the astrologer, and sometimes the astrologer was the high priest. So they principally advised kings. Then after we began getting into, actually it was in the 17th century with the discovery of the planet Uranus, which is radical individualism and revolution, that was when people really began to matter in terms of their individual destinies and democracy, and neither governments nor churches could have the complete control over them that they had before. And now, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, when you finish your point, when you said churches, it made me think of the Star of Bethlehem. So go ahead with your point, and then I want to move to that.
Oh, okay. Well, now the it used to be that, you know, where Jupiter only indicated fortune, and the only ones who really, fortune only to our earliest ancestors, only came from the gods or you inherited it. But later, as people began getting involved in their own destiny in the modern world, then the energies of these planets became our like inner psychological archetypes. Psychology and astrology come from common roots, which is mythology. Psychologists will say, "Yeah, these are all the components of our individual psyches." Okay, so the Star of Bethlehem.
Yes, because what's interesting about that is that many people who perhaps would definitely swear that they don't believe in astrology, they think it's hocus pocus, whatever, and yet here we are at the season that people who are involved in Christianity very much believe in the Star of Bethlehem, and they believe that the Magi followed that star and so forth. So it's kind of interesting to me that in my mind, those two, it's related. So tell us about what was the Star of Bethlehem, really?
Well, it involves telling a story. And let me back up by doing this.
Okay.
He who has the gold makes the rules.
Right. that hasn't changed, has it?
No, that hasn't changed. But we don't think about that because, you know, there's still a battle being fought over which gospel should really be used and in the Bible and whatnot. And the Council of Nicaea, where many of the were declared Gnostics and of the gospels and thrown out, and only a few survived. But the ones that have survived, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in terms of those Gospels, in terms of the origins of the Christian religion, are the ones that have survived. Now, we all, what do? When we go to church? I was brought up, I was, you know, I don't know how many generations Episcopalian. My parents were very involved in the church, and my brother and I were in all the pageants, reluctantly, I might add. And so as you stumble down these children, you know, the church aisles, following the star, and I remember I was a sheep in my first pageant and eventually worked my way up to Elizabeth. So there's a hierarchy in these things. But on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, what is it? What's the gospel that is read? It's Luke.
It's Luke, yeah.
So you read the Gospel of Luke. Well, if you really look at the Gospel of Luke and read it, I mean, if people actually read it, is there a star in Luke? No. There's no star mentioned in Luke. And then if you read Mark and John, there is no mention of a star. If you read Matthew, the only mention of a star is that the three Magi followed it to Herod, followed it to, into Judea and into Jerusalem.
Yes.
But if you really read Matthew carefully, and I have this in the opening chapters of my book that takes you through this, you will see that the only ones who actually saw the star, quotes, were the Magi. Herod was unaware of it. Herod's wise men were unaware of it. Nobody saw it. I mean, there could only be one king to a kingdom, and Herod was it. And the distressing news when the Magi came up to the castle, his castle, and said, "We have come here to find the new king. We have seen his star in the east." And he goes, "What star?" and this was not good news to Herod. Now, seeing his star in the east is something that is astrological. If you really look at this, means it really means because every heavenly body rises in the east, and so this means it's a culminating aspect that's coming up. Now, if you look at Matthew's chapter 2, verse 1 through 16, you can really follow this. Now, we also know that the use of the word magi, and it only applies, if you look at the Greek, it only applies to the wise men. It doesn't apply to anyone else. And when you look at Strong's Concordance, which is an exhaustive cross-reference of every word in the King James Bible, back to the word in the original biblical text. It means the names given to by just about every Mideastern culture to the wise men, teachers, priests, astrologers, seers, all of that, which were all one profession. And so as you keep going through this, through Matthew, you see that actually the stars that was being followed were only the stars that the astrologers could see because they were on charts. Mm-hmm. They weren't the stars in the sky. The only stars that could be the constellations which were in effect, I mean the stars that were of the aspects, are the same ones like Jupiter and Saturn that come together regularly in the sky in aspects, and they're not astounding, they're not blazing, and they don't cause any ooh and ah. But this is an example of the stars being an indicator.
Yes.
And then Herod further calls the wise men back and asks them, when did you first see that star?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of code for, because all astrologers want to know the time when something happened. You know, there's a joke in astrology that if there's something like 10 people on a corner and a car crash occurs, and they're all witnesses to it, only the astrologer will say, do you know what time? Did anybody look at your watch and see what time it was? They want to know. So anyway, it's worth people just, I'm not trying to change anybody's mind. I'm just saying, read.
Well,
and form your own opinion.
Yeah, this is very interesting. I want to get to what we can expect in our modern day life when we come to you, an astrologer. What can we expect from an astrological consultation? And then follow that by telling listeners how they can contact you if they're ready to use your services. Okay?
Sure. What people largely astrology is best at describing our environments and our orientations to them, which means the first of all, it's a very good mirror indicator, an astrological chart of a lot of your patterns from early childhood, family of origin that reflects today. We also have stories that we tell ourselves about what happened to us that may need some looking under the covers of a little bit, and astrology can help with that because they become the unconscious and conscious patterns that we work with. It's very good about timing of planning out and helping and identifying timing for things like decisions on just about anything, you know, whether it's whether to buy a house, how come my money seems to be going away, what's going on, how come, gee, I seem to be in a good period of financial earning, is that going to continue? I feel like, you know, I'm having troubles in my relationship, what are the issues, is it going to resolve, how may it resolve? I have a lot right now with the Pluto, Saturn, Uranus aspects going. Well, you just look at the planet and you know something powerful is going on, and there are the aspects of the planet, the outer planets of Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, and Saturn are really having an impact. And so I actually added to my website a category of astrological consultation that's OMG, what fresh hell is this and when will it end? Because when a lot of people come in for a reading, they come in because they have been thrown to the edges of their known world. And they just want some additional answers. And I'm very good at giving those, and so are other trained astrologers. In terms of issues of timing and verifying, but then also helping people to see that this isn't something that just dropped out of the sky. We're not hamsters on a wheel, even though we feel like it sometimes. But we're in the midst of different cycles within cycles and within our own lives, and they are helixes. They're moving upward. They're not just spinning. And so to show how we have participated in our own growth and that we're not just getting slammed, that we're much further along than we really think. So it's really helpful for people who feel they're at decision points or just want to check in or have a vague feeling of something and they want it confirmed. And, you know, my clients have been quite happy about that.
Yes, yes. Well, I have been, as your client, quite happy with my reading. And I think your point about the timing and the indicators and the confirmation of where, you know, the path I'm on is very helpful. And I think people don't realize that it's not hocus pocus, that it's based on specific things that, well, first of all, you need the exact time and location of birth. And then from there, those indicators, you know, it just falls right in line with what has happened through the life. You know, like when we were talking and you said, what happened in 19 whatever year? And I could immediately go, oh, my God, that was when I whatever.
Right.
You know?
So you could see where you were in that cycle, and I could point to those times.
Right,
I'd say it, you know, it had something to do with work. It had something to do with, you know, with family. And I'm the type of astrologer, I don't want you to turn your life over to me. I don't want you to move off the playing field of your life and sit in the stands and watch the game. I want you to be on the field playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not one who's going to encourage dependency on me as an astrologer.
That's
but
wonderful.
I will. There are those who will, but I don't happen to be one of them.
Well, tell us your website or your email and how listeners can contact you, because we have about 4 minutes left of the show.
Oh, okay. You can contact me at www.astrologicuspress.com. That's A-S-T-R-O-L-O-G-I-C-U-S. Press, all one word, astrologicuspress.com. You can also call me at 760-536-3482, or you can email me at dparker@astrologicuspress.com.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to repeat the phone number and email for those who are
writing. The phone number is 760-536-3482, and the email is dparker@astrologicuspress.com.
Okay.
You can also go to deborahsmithparker.com, and it'll take you there.
Oh, cool. Now, those of you who are over in the chat room, I just typed that information into the chat room, so it's there as a live link. And for those of you who are listening live, not to worry, because this recording will be available shortly after the show, and you'll be able to listen to it again.
And I'm on Facebook, Deborah Smith Parker.
And you're on Facebook, too, as Deborah Smith Parker also? Oh, great. So we can get a hold of you all kinds of ways, huh?
We recovering English majors get out there into the world.
That's right. Well, it sounds like this is one of those topics that we could go on for hours, so that means that I'm going to have to invite you back again.
Oh, I hope
about
so.
That?
Oh,
would
it's an
that
election year coming up. That's where astrology is great.
Oh, that's so true. We're near the end of today's show. We have just a couple of minutes left. You want to leave us with some closing words, and then I'll close out the show?
Astrology gets to the heart of what we need to know. It's best understood, a lot of it, in terms of the stories that we tell ourselves about our lives. It helps us know them. My father was quite an aficionado of the stars and mythology, and he used to say to me, Deborah, the stars are the ceiling of our world and the floor of the gods. And I think that is the best relationship, and I have found it to be true, that it shows that we are not separate from our creators, that we are in conscious co-creation with the living spirit.
Well, that's wonderful. And I did not tell the listeners about your book, Humanus Astrologicus.
Oh, and shame on me for not.
That's
on
okay.
My website.
We're going to have you back. It's on the website. It's on Amazon. Be sure to take a look at it. My intent was to read poetry from there, but we've run out of time. Wonderful poetry that will ring true when you find out what your sign is.
Funny. It's not complex. It's easy to understand.
It's not complex, and it's fun. Your poetry is wonderful. So thank you for writing that. I'm going to invite my listeners to join me again next Monday, December 5th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another informative and exciting show. This is Flora Brown coming to you from Anaheim, California. I am going to say thank you, Deborah, for being on today.
Thank you,
listeners, for tuning in. Have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.